everyone. Joe to camera, 97.5 The Fanatic. Great to be with you here on this Monday night. Hope everyone had a terrific weekend. Month of February rolls on one more day, six more hours. Turn the page to March. Should be some more exciting times. Hopefully the Flyers, in the midst of a bit of a playoff push, can continue that. Of course, we'll have March Madness on the horizon, some college basketball, and see how far the local squads can get to make the tournament. Obviously, Villanova should be a very, very, very high seed. But kind of an interesting different time right now in Philly sports. I mean, the Flyers now in a playoff hunt. They've certainly worked their way there. But they don't make a trade before the trade deadline, which so many of us see as a sign of progressive thought. You know, actually, like, gearing this thing toward the future, which I give the Flyers credit for doing. Ron Hextall, I've been impressed with him throughout the process. The 76ers, it seems, after 2.5 years, the players, it seems, after 2.5 years of having the organization, you know, obviously intentionally field a team designed to lose, it just seems like the players have finally hit a wall, like they've hit a breaking point. Now, they got to fight through that. This is not to excuse them by any stretch, because the effort lately has been incredibly lacking. The defense lately has been absolutely pathetic. But for whatever it's worth, I mean, it's not just in a vacuum, independent of other things. The reality is, for 2.5 years, the organization obviously has put forth a product that has given whomever the players have been no chance to win. And it just seems like, with 24 games, I think it is, to go now in year three, it just seems like the players have just kind of hit a breaking point. They got to fight through it again, but that's certainly what it looks like to me. Phil's early days of spring training, rough season ahead, we know that. And the Eagles continuing to navigate and negotiate with Sam Bradford. And the clock is now starting to tick. The clock is starting to tick. You know, they're trying to figure out essentially at what price and for how many years that they want to commit to Sam Bradford. We'll talk about it tonight, 610-632-0975, for you to jump in. Also, we'll have literally the final spot for Knockout. The last spot we're giving away on the radio station tonight for Knockout will happen this evening right around 6:30. So if you've been trying to get in, and haven't gotten in, and certainly many have, but many more have not. That's the nature of thousands and thousands of listeners and one winner per show. Tonight, we'll have a final winner at 6:30 that will play hoops with us on the floor of the Wells Fargo Center coming up Wednesday this week, just 2 days from now. So certainly stay tuned for that. Again, get aboard, 610-632-0975. We'll start tonight kind of more extensively with the clock ticking with Bradford, because, you know, I see these reports over the weekend that the Eagles have, as it was reported, increased their offer to Bradford. And my reaction was one of concern. Now, look, obviously, to say the least, we've been down this Bradford conversation, this road before, but it really is starting to reach a pivotal point. For instance, this is the last show I'll have at 6 o'clock, prior to the franchise tag window being over. 4 o'clock tomorrow is the deadline for that. So this is it, as far as that part of it being part of the equation. The Eagles have now slightly under 22 hours to put the franchise tag on Sam Bradford. And if they don't, they lose what everybody likes to have in life, which is control. They will lose control. In 22 hours, the Eagles lose control of the situation. They simply won't have control anymore. Now, certainly they'll be able to influence the situation, and they can have strong influence on the situation. But in 22 hours, if they do not franchise Sam Bradford, they will have lost control of the situation. And, you know, which, you know, naturally, when you hear the reports of them increasing an offer to Bradford, it makes sense that in light of what has been a reported hesitation to franchise Bradford, that as you get closer and closer to this stage of this deadline about to pass, it's why the Eagles would in fact be inclined, makes sense, common sense, to increase their offer, which again was reported over the weekend. But when I hear of an increased offer for Bradford, see, this is where I got cause for pause. This is where I say, oh, boy. because I don't like the sound. I'm just telling you, I don't like the sound of an increased offer to Bradford. And we'll talk about it tonight, 610-632-0975. I think we're all looking forward to this situation being over one way or the other. But it is the quarterback of the Eagles. It very well, you know, may swing back around to be Bradford again in future years or someone else. And see, here's the thing. When I hear, and this is, again, this is just my inclination. When I hear that, as it was reported, the Eagles had increased their offer to Bradford, it strikes me like the Eagles ventured beyond, obviously, what they wanted to offer Bradford toward something closer to what the athlete wants. And that's exactly what I don't want. I don't want what the athlete wants in this negotiation. I want what the team wants. Sometimes, as a fan of, you know, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles, sometimes you root for the athlete. You like the athlete. You've grown attached to the athlete. You know, and you're happy for the athlete. And other times, again, from my perspective, you root for the team, especially because it's a salary cap world in three of the four sports, and you say, best interest of the team, I want the team, the heck with the athlete, try to get it done, but the heck with the athlete. And that's kind of how I feel on this Bradford thing. Now, I know the Eagles got to be smoother in their negotiation than how I just articulated it, and certainly they got to put their arm around Sammy B and tell him they love him and all those stupid things. But, I mean, you know, the reality is that any increase of an offer from where the Eagles were is, at a very basic level, an increase of where they want to be, an increase beyond where they want to be, and an increase toward where the athlete wants it to be. And so when I hear about an increased offer to Bradford, not a big fan, you know? And look, we all know that we're not dealing with specifics, because to the credit of Sam Bradford's camp and to the credit of the Eagles camp, information has not been leaked out there of any specifics. We don't know years. We don't know dollars. They've done a good job keeping it tight-lipped. That's what they should do. I credit both of them for doing that. That's negotiating in good faith and keeping it out of the press and out of the fans. And that's the way the contract negotiation should work. But I, you know, again, any increase to Bradford involves obviously more money and possibly more years. And that, to me, is the rub. And that's what I want to dive into tonight, because I have said this entire time, and you guys have been listening to me these last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Bradford the entire time. The issue, from my vantage point of how I feel about this, has been motivated by years, not dollars. I'm fine with the Eagles overpaying Sam Bradford for a year. Knock yourself out. Overpay the guy for a year. But don't commit years. And so when you hear about an increased offer to Bradford, which invariably, you know, has to involve more money. Has to. Obviously. But also could involve the secondary element, which is, to me, the concern. More years. And that is what scares me. That's when I see the report over the weekend, I think, uh-oh, they might be venturing toward a commitment of years that bothers me. Now, I'll take your thoughts at 610-632-0975. We'll get into it tonight. And specifically, I want to pose this question to you. We have known this entire time, obviously, that many people, not all, but many people, many millions, would be willing to give Bradford a one-year deal. Whether it's the franchise tag or otherwise, it's like, you know what? It makes sense. Go prove it. The guy's going to get paid well for a year. Dude, go prove it. You've never not only won a playoff game, you haven't even been in the playoffs. Yeah, you've had some rough circumstances in your career, including the Eagles offense last year that was lame around you and Chip and all that and the knee injuries. But you got to prove it before you can cash in big on the dollars, you know, that are precious salary cap space for years to come for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's how a lot of us feel. And so for many of us, many millions, the concept of a one-year deal is a very palatable, interesting, hey, I like that arrangement, right? And then we got this whole other thing, many, even more millions, basically 99.9999% of the populace of Philadelphia, that says under no circumstance whatsoever do they want to see the Eagles sign Sam Bradford to a long, lucrative deal, to a 4 or 5 year deal that pays him huge money and commits them. I want you to put that word in your memory for this conversation, commits them to Bradford for a while. And so the question I have tonight is sort of looking to split the difference between the people that say, yeah, I'd roll Bradford for a year, that's cool. And many people, including some from the first category, that say, but under no circumstance would I give him this monster deal that commits the Eagles for years and years. And so the question simply is this. If we find out that the structure of the deal requires the Eagles, no matter how long the actual deal itself is, a 2-year commitment from the Eagles, meaning it can be a 3-year deal, it can be a 4-year deal, it can be a 5-year deal. But in the end, as we know, based on the nature of how deals are literally written in NFL terms, it's not about the 4, 5, 6, 7-year deal. Knock yourself out with 15 years. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what are you realistically committed to where you're going to have an enormous cap hit penalty-wise if you cut the player sooner than the years you've committed to? Meaning this, no matter how long the deal would be, splitting the difference between those that say they're cool with a year but not cool with a long time, would you, if you were the Eagles, sign off on a commitment that would require a 2-year Philadelphia Eagles commitment to Sam Bradford? 610-632-0975. I mean, essentially, would you do it at 2 years? 4-year deal, 3-year deal, 5-year deal, but the nature of how it's written requires the Eagles to actually have him for 2 years. Would you do that? 610-632-0975. Now, just to give you a case in point, or a reference point here. Like, for instance, Nnamdi, everybody knew after the first 4 or 5 games that the Nnamdi deal was a disaster. He just wasn't that good. But the way that long-term contract was written, the Eagles would have, you know, a big penalty, salary cap-wise, in year two, if they didn't have him play year two. And that's why Nnamdi was back for a second year, to ride out essentially the commitment of the contract without an enormous cap hit of signing bonus money collapsing into a year. And so that's why Nnamdi got a second year with the Eagles, even though everyone knew he wasn't that good after the first year or first 8 games or the first 4 games, because that's the language of the contract. Eagles are dealing with the same thing right now with Byron Maxwell. I mean, obviously, if the Eagles could snap their fingers like and get rid of Byron Maxwell, you know, if they could click those ruby slippers together, or shoes from Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and say, Byron Maxwell, he's gone. Well, if they could do it, they would do it. Because he ain't that good. And everybody knows he's not that good for that price. But he's back because they have a commitment in the nature of that contract where the penalty is, frankly, greater to not have him on the team than to have him on the team. And so that's where these negotiations are so critical with Sam Bradford, because you're talking about the structure of the deal. And obviously Sam Bradford has some leverage, although it has appeared that he has some less leverage than we had anticipated entering this process, which brings me to the concept of the 2-year deal. Because that, when I hear about an increased offer, that's where this could be headed. The 2-year structure, 4 or 5-year deal, 3-year deal, whatever, knock yourself out. I couldn't care less. But where the Eagles actually say 2016 and 2017, the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback is Sam Bradford. Now, it's one thing to commit for a year on a guy that's never won a playoff game and never been to the playoffs. It's another thing to do it for 2 years. And so I ask you tonight, would you be willing to do that? I mean, that might be the basic crux of the situation. 610-632-0975. I will tell you this. I am really torn, wildly conflicted on the concept of whether I would do that or not. To the point where, and you guys know I'm very straight up with you. I see something and I tell you like I see it, and I analyze these situations, and most things are pretty easy to know where you stand. You know, something's good, something's bad, you know. There's shades of gray in there, but usually you kind of know how you feel. I know that I would not be happy with the two-year structure deal for Bradford, but I also know that it might be the only way to get him back other than franchising him. And so I'm very conflicted. I mean, honestly, I'm just telling you, I you know, in many ways, this is one of those rare instances where I think I'd say, you know what? You guys help me formulate the opinion. I mean, I'll come to you and you tell me, because there are pros and cons, man. The con, you could be committed for 2 years to the wrong guy. Period. End of story. The pro, in the absence of Bradford, what? Who? So I take no pride in telling you that I am very conflicted on whether I would do that. But I'm just being honest. And that may be the very nature of what the Eagles are dealing with literally tonight. Again, 4 p.m. deadline for the franchise tag tomorrow. Literally tonight in potential negotiations with Sam Bradford. Let's go to the phones. 610-632-0975. You guys help me sort through it. 76ers hoops at 7. We've got another spot in knockout and the final spot in knockout tonight. Right around 6:30 or so. To the phones with Bruce. Kicks us off. Bruce, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, dude?
Hey, I think they should go ahead, sign him 2 years, draft a quarterback. If he doesn't work out, you still got the guy. Get rid of Sanchez. But you make him a fair offer. If he doesn't take it, don't franchise him. Just let him go. And hope you can get somebody else in the free agent.
So your thing, it sounds like, is about a principle of not going over a certain line.
Yeah. You're making him a fair offer. He wanted more money. You made that offer. Sign him to 2 years. He doesn't take it, let him go, because we dealt him fairly. But if he signs it, then you draft a quarterback. Let him sit behind Bradford. Second year, if he doesn't work out, Bradford's not doing it. You got the guy that's been watching him for a year to play.
Well, it's interesting, Bruce. Appreciate the phone call. You bring up a concept I first brought up a couple weeks ago, and I agree with it. I don't think that the Eagles need to think in terms of just one track in acquiring a franchise quarterback. I think both the re-signing of Bradford and the drafting of a rookie could be an option and should be an option to explore. If the right, 22-year-old guy is there, 21-year-old at pick 22 or at pick 13, I think you've got to really consider it, even if you've retained Bradford. Now, the second-year commitment would make it murky, because, again, that's where I'd rather have Bradford franchise for a year while drafting someone else. And that's what the second-year commitment would where it becomes a problem. 610-632-0975. Thad on a cell phone. What's up, Thad? Yo, Thad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so let me just talk to you about this, the conflicted nature that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. I hate to see you conflicted, Joe. I listen to your show every night.
I appreciate it.
Well, here's my thing. I want to help you come onto the Bradford side of things.
Yep.
So the question you have to ask yourself is Sam Bradford a quarterback who is improving? Is he plateaued, or is he in decline? I think he's improving. You know, you look at the first seven games of the season, you throw those out because he hadn't played in almost 2 years. Look at the second seven games of the season. I think you've got a quarterback that's on the rise. And, yeah, I think you definitely signed into a two-year deal all day long.
Well, I'll tell you this. Improving has to, though, be based on a standard of aiming toward getting something really good. Because a guy improving from, you know, the 23rd best quarterback or 22nd best quarterback in football who can get you all the way up to, you know, the 17th best spot, that's not good enough. So it's got to be, do you believe he can improve enough to justify it? Not just improve, but improve enough.
Well, I think if you take the eighth game of the season, you know, when he wasn't injured,
right,
and then look at where he was to the last game of the season, take that trajectory that he's on, then, yeah, I think he can keep continuing to improve. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback. He's actually pretty solid, really accurate, et cetera. So I think you sign him all day long. You don't have an option at this point, unless you go for the 6'8", 240-pounder, Brock Osweiler. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's intriguing. I mean, you know, we're kind of waiting to see how this situation in Denver shakes out. I think Osweiler is a name you gotta consider. I mean, yeah, I do think that. Will in Brookhaven. Will, what's up, man?
Hey, Bill.
Will, what's up, dude?
All right. I was listening to what you were saying. I would give him a 2 year deal, but he has to prove that he can stay healthy. And I would sign him and give him 2 years because, honestly, I don't think he's going to stay healthy all season.
Whoa, hold on. You would sign him thinking that he won't stay healthy?
Yep.
Why would you do that?
Because, I mean, he's proven that he can't.
Whoa, you're saying you would sign him or would not sign him?
I would. And then I prove to myself that he's not going to stay healthy, and we might as well just get 5 wins and just call it a season.
If you're just trying to tank, then go get someone else. I mean, if you're talking about tanking, just let Sanchez play.
I mean, but he's not proving he can stay healthy.
But what's the point of giving a guy a lot of money to be bad on your basis of...
Well, franchise tagging then.
Well, no, but that doesn't make any sense, man. If you want to tank, there's a better way to tank than to give a guy 15, 16, 17 million. No, I mean, come on, that doesn't make any sense. Let's go to Steve on a cell phone. Steve, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, long-time listener, thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure, Steve.
I hate Chip Kelly so much that I hope they sign him and he turns into the best quarterback they've ever had.
That he's the greatest audibler of all time.
I mean, I despise Chip so much that I would sign him. I mean, we don't know what the money is yet, so... maybe they offered him 15 and they moved it up to 15.5.
You know what? Yeah, and it's probably somewhere between 15 and 18. But would you agree with me that the years is a bigger deal than the money?
Absolutely.
Let me rephrase that. The committed years, the years that they are tied to him based on the structure of that contract.
Yeah, because we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, yeah, he had a healthy year last year. What does that mean for the year coming up? But we have no other option. I mean, we got to get somebody younger underneath of him that at least we can start grooming, because we got a clean house. Not clean house, but we got a lot of good players that are coming back and a new coach with a new system, a real coach this time. And I think that anybody could change these guys around.
There's I hope. I just hope they can change him around enough. Appreciate the call, man. I mean, guys, I just tell you, I'm very conflicted on the two-year structure. You guys know the whole time I've advocated 1 year. I would definitely advocate the franchise tag over a two-year commitment. But for whatever reason, they're, you know, to this point choosing not to franchise him, although that could change in the next, you know, 21 and a half hours. If they don't go the franchise tag route and their option is a two-year deal or not, and again, I'm talking a two-year commitment. That is tough, man. I mean, do I really believe in Sam Bradford for that? Oh, God. And that's probably what it'll take, because I find it hard to believe he's not going to get that on the open market. That's why I would have franchised him the whole time. That's what I've been saying. 610-632-0975. Guys, I want to tell you about the great people. So good at what they do at PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Are you or someone you know affected by problem teeth? Dr. Balshi, Dr. Wolfinger, they are pioneers, literally, in this field. And PI Dental Center, board-certified prosthodontists who have literally pioneered dental implant treatment and have changed the lives of thousands of people with cosmetic dental improvements. Patients travel across the country to have the PI team correct their so-called unsolvable dental problems. Well, you don't have to travel across the country. They're right here in our backyard in Fort Washington. If you have an issue, if you've been having an issue, if you've had a lifelong issue, maybe a parent's got an issue, in advanced stage of life, or a child, or yourself, anybody. If you or someone you know is embarrassed by their teeth or dealing with something really bad right now and it needs to get taken care of, call PI Dental Center. 215-646-6334. PI Dental Center in Fort Washington with the best staff, incredibly helpful. They'll go over everything with you, including financial options. I cannot possibly recommend them highly enough. They are that legit. They are that phenomenal at what they do. Write the number down. 215-646-6334. PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Joe to camera. We rock. All the calls next. Keep it here. And the absolute last chance to win a spot in Knockout is happening next. Keep it here on 97.5 Fanatic.
Home, home on the range, with a deer and the antelope play.
An Australian doing an American classic doesn't sound quite right, especially when it comes to beef on a classic American hamburger. Yet some fast food joints use frozen beef from as far away as Australia.
G'day, mate.
But Wendy's believes the juiciest hamburgers are made with fresh, never frozen beef raised in North America. Of course, Australia is good for many things. Lovely people, Great Barrier Reefs, just not the beef on a deliciously different Dave's Double. 100% fresh North American beef available in contiguous United States and Canada.
A lot of work goes into bringing you Wendy's premium cod sandwich. We had to get in a boat like this, head up to the North Pacific in weather like this, so we could catch this. Oh, sorry. I'm holding up a picture of a wild caught North Pacific cod. Then we gave it a panko breading for a crunch that sounds like this, which will make you sound like this.
Delicious.
But hurry, it's only available for a limited time.
Limited time? I gotta get on this.
The deliciously light, crisp, and crunchy North Pacific cod sandwich, only from Wendy's. At participating Wendy's for a limited time.
Should you worry about identity theft during tax season? Yes. The IRS has reported over $6 billion in fraudulent refunds in a single year due to identity theft. Does it matter if you're not getting a refund this year? No. Thieves can use information from your tax documents to steal your identity well after tax season ends. Can disguising yourself make you less likely to have your identity stolen? No. Your friends might not recognize you, but it won't help with identity theft. Fortunately, LifeLock can help. If you're a victim, our U.S.-based team of specialists will work to resolve your case. If needed, we'll spend up to $1 million hiring lawyers and experts to set things right. Don't wait till you have a problem. Get LifeLock for peace of mind now and all year long. Memberships start at $9.99 a month plus applicable taxes. And now you can get 10% off. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code LifeLock. LifeLock.
Hi, this is Rob Ellis. When choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it make sense to choose one that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets? Natural Lawn of America has been providing safer, environmentally friendly lawn care for over 25 years. Trust me, you're going to be amazed by the results. Your lawn will be thicker, greener, and healthier than you ever imagined. Whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, they have a program that's right for you. These guys are the real pros. They're certified, experienced lawn care technicians. Tailor their applications to your lawn's specific needs. They're competitively priced and have a money-back guarantee. Here's the best part. Natural Lawn has an offer you won't get from any other lawn care company. Their offer is for life. Sign up for the full-service program and get your free seeding every year. That's right. As a Natural Lawn customer, they will seed your lawn every year free of charge. Call today and take advantage of this limited-time special offer. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Pizza Hut's $5 flavor menu is the first way to say yes to any two or more of your favorites for just $5 each. That's yes to medium one-topping pizzas, Wing Street wings, and Hershey's desserts. Feels good to say yes to the $5 flavor menu only at Pizza Hut.
Limited time offer. Additional charge for extra cheese, toppings, and pan crust. Hershey's trademark used under license.
Wake up.
Good morning.
And get up.
We are back in better than ever.
With Mike and Mike. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, or on demand on the ESPN app.
Ryan Russillo here. If you're a small business owner, then you know firsthand it can be a real challenge to get access to funding. It's time for funding to catch up to the 21st century. It's time for Cabbage. Fill out the application online and you'll get a decision in minutes with on-the-spot access to a line of credit of up to $150,000. No waiting, no hassle. Cabbage is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Has been named a Forbes Top 100 company twice in a row. So go to cabbage.com or call 855-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E, the number one online provider of small business loans.
In my line of work, I'm trying to make a difference. Not $1 billion, but I do want to be able to save for the future. So this year, I partnered with TIAA to help me map out what I should be doing. Together, we came up with a personalized plan for my finances. And now, it seems like a life of rewarding work just might pay off for a lifetime.
See how we're helping those who do good do well at the new TIAA.org. TIAA, created to serve, built to perform.
Now's the time to get ready for spring and save during Lowe's Pro Bonus Days, featuring special offers only for pros. For a limited time, you can ask for 10% off your first in-store purchase when you open and use a new Lowe's Business Credit account from February 25th through March 2nd. See Pro Desk in-store for required coupon details and exclusions. Registration required for savings online. Credit offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined with other credit offers. Come in now for Lowe's Pro Bonus Days and save with Lowe's Business Credit.
Finally, a local news app made for you. Download the NBC 10 app to your phone today and get only the information you want. Simple, straightforward, easy to navigate. Get the latest breaking news stories quicker. Stories that impact Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Plus, first alert weather for your neighborhood, your work, even your children's school, with custom alerts sent right to your phone. Download the new NBC 10 app today.
Monday, the Voice, America's number one singing competition, is back.
Val, get over here and sit down.
When I'm here, you don't run the show, Blake.
Be there for the moment America discovers.
I'm astonished by you.
The next great voice.
This is your moment.
Two-time Emmy winner, The Voice, returns with the blind auditions, followed by the return of TV's number one new show, Blind Spot, Monday on NBC.
Watch NBC 10 tonight starting at 8.
Jenna Cameron, 97.5, The Fanatic. We've got 76ers Hoops coming up versus Washington at the top of the hour. And right now, our final spot in the Fanatic game of knockout to be awarded right now on the contest line. Third caller, 215-263-0975. Third caller will join us to play Hoops on the Floor of the Wells Fargo Center two nights from now, Wednesday, after the Sixers game versus Charlotte. Get dialing, win the two tickets to the game and a spot in knockout. It's been a fun promotion, and obviously we're all looking forward to the evening two nights from now. It's great. We've done it three times before. It really is a great night. So hopefully you win the final spot here right now on the show. Let's go to the phones. Bradford, two-year deal. Smart, not smart. If you had to commit, not just, you know, like a 2-year deal that can be chopped down to one, you cut the guy. I'm talking about a 3 or 4 year deal that can be chopped down to two, but you got to have Bradford for 2 years. Would you do that? Man, it's a tough one. Would you do that? Let's go to Mike in Doylestown. Mike, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, you know, I figure we have the leverage. That's why he's not going with any other teams out there, and he's looking for a 3-4 year contract. And if we have the leverage to just say, no, we're doing 2 years, it will keep the knuckleheads, Laurie and his posse, from signing them up for 3, 4, or 5 years. So it prevents being stuck with them for longer than 2 years. And then the second thing, I want a trade clause in it so that if I want out of the contract, I can trade him. If he doesn't go for that, then I make the second year very performance laden.
Well, okay, let me just jump in here, Mike. So yeah. I love all the, you know, you want to be able to trade him and all that, but the way these things work from a signing bonus money standpoint, that's what precludes it. That's what makes it I mean, I agree with you. I'd love for things to be incentive laden. You can trade him, you get out of this, you can get out of that. But, I mean, the way NFL deals are often structured, that's essentially not possible. So in light of that not being possible, 2-year deal straight up, if you had to commit to him, yes or no? I mean, 15, 17 million, pick your number, whatever. You doing that or not?
So So then, yes, I would, and here's why. I think you need the maturity that he brings, even though he's been inconsistent in his playing time. He's got some maturity that will help a new coach. It will help this team. I want to put the franchise tag money towards a Fletcher Cox, not a Bradford. I think for 2 years, while we're grooming, some callers said that we ought to draft a quarterback, or I think while we're grooming his replacement, I think for 2 years I could live with that, but it would prevent him from being signed for 3, 4, or 5 years too, which I don't know that I could live with.
Well, that would be totally unlivable. Appreciate the call, Mike. I mean, it might be a 3 or 4 or 5 year deal, but we're talking about the commitment. There's no way you can commit to him for those kind of years in a way that you're tied to him. Let's go to George on a cell phone. George, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Joe, before I answer the question, and that's why I love this discussion, strategists versus tacticians. This is where you're going to see the separation between the Belichicks and the cream of the crop versus this next Eagle regime here. Are they going to let the tail wag the dog? What is the vision for this team in terms of its composition, given its current player complement? Is it going to be a run-centric team?
Right.
Do they have enough people in place here to create a pass-centric team? Are they going to bolster the defense with limited resources? I'd say unless Doug really has that ironed out in his mind, they could be creating the faux pas of all faux pas here, depending what they do with Bradford in this next deal.
All right, George, let me just jump in and say something here, because I think you bring up an interesting concept, but there's a twist I have to it that I think's fair. Until you know who your players are going to be, not just in 2016, but beyond, it's hard to exactly know what type of team you should be. I mean, frankly, I think this team offensively may have only two or three players on it that should be here 2 years from now. Two or three max. So it's hard to know what you should be ultimately when you don't even know who you're going to be.
Yeah, I guess the question is, given the coach's propensity for what he wants the team to be, and then you go out and draft accordingly, how do you build either with Bradford or without him, depending on what your strategic vision is for what you want this team to look like in 3 to 4 years? I mean, look, I mean, the Super Bowl was just won with somebody with a 60 passer rating,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's not exactly an anomaly. Actually, the first, I think it's in the first 10 or 11 Super Bowls, you had quarterbacks that were way down on passer rating.
Yeah, but remember, that was back when, cornerbacks could practically tackle receivers as they ran down the field.
Yeah, and I would say to counter that the defense put together by the Broncos effectively shut down those kinds of offenses this year, too. If you're going to invest on that side of the ball versus the offense. So I don't know what the Eagles are going to be, because I don't know what's in Peterson's head. And I wonder if he's going to be kind of the Andy Reid type where he's going to want to pass a lot.
Right.
You need a quarterback that's going to be able to execute that way.
Yeah.
So you got to bolster. I can't wait to see how this pans out. There's so many unknowns. And I'd say in the end right now, don't overcommit on the dollars if you can structure something that's beneficial to the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have to overextend and then potentially cause themselves damage on draft picks or cap, then you got to defer, build around the rest of the team, and get the quarterback when you can in a 3 to 4 year rebuilding process.
All right, George, very interesting phone call. I understand what you're laying out there. Let's go to Dave in Freehold. Dave, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Dave, what's going on, man?
So I think with the state of the league as it is now, $10 million per year for a starting quarterback wouldn't be too bad, and I completely agree.
Well, it'll never be that low.
Exactly. So I agree with you on the commitment of years
yep.
being a key factor to this. So if you could lock Bradford up for 2 years, committed $10 million a year, I think that'd be great.
Well, but hold on. You got to get that $10 million figure out of your mind. Like, I'd like to see Sam Bradford sign to a 5-year deal for $1 million a year, but it's not going to happen.
Sure.
So let's deal with stuff that can happen. I mean, forget $10 million a year. Like, think in terms of $16 million a year.
I agree with you, and that's why I'm saying we should franchise him this year.
Right, that's what I've been saying.
That's $20 million, that's almost like locking him up for 2 years for $10 million a year. Because this year, you'll get to look at him, and if he works out that great, then we can restructure a whole new deal next year. But if this year doesn't work out so good, we're done with him and we can move on. Worry about anything with the contract.
And
so, I mean, it's almost looking at $10 million a year for 2 years guaranteed.
All right. Well, I don't get the two-year $10 million analogy on how that works franchise tag-wise, because then if he's let go after next year, someone else becomes the quarterback and makes X million. So your quarterback position won't have been 2 years and $10 million per. I don't get that part of it. But the concept of franchising him is obviously what I also have long advocated. And again, 4 o'clock Eastern tomorrow is the window where the franchise tag option closes. Nick on a cell phone. Nick, you're on the Fanatic.
Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Nick, what's up, man?
Good, man. So I'm not a big Bradford fan. I wanted to state that right up front. I originally wanted to franchise tag him, but the more I thought about it, I'm good with the 2 year commitment, and that's the max.
It's absolutely the max. There's no doubt about it. It's the max.
Here's the reason why I want to do the franchise tag, though. I believe our quarterback's not in this draft. I believe it's in next year's draft. The crop is deeper. I like the players a lot. There's a lot of quarterbacks that I like coming out a lot better. I do want to take one this year, but I don't want to spend an early round pick on them.
Right.
I want to spend an early round pick, preferably first round pick, on an offensive tackle, either from the guy from Conklin from Michigan State or Ohio State, or best player available if Jalen Ramsey falls, somebody like that. And then I want to take like a Dak Prescott or Cardale Jones, somebody like that later in the draft, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th round.
Well, here's the one thing I'd say about your plan for next year is, you're right, you got to look at it. You always got to look over the horizon. It's just that it is so inexact of how to maneuver for a draft that's 14 months from now. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I just don't like Paxton Lynch at 13. I think Goff and Wentz are going to be gone. And I don't really like any of those guys anyway. So if I'm going to franchise Bradford this year, I'm going to be in the same spot next year. And that injury concern is always going to worry me. So even if he does blight it up this year, which I don't think he would anyway, he's going to have the leverage next year anyway. So
well, he would. No, you're right. If he lights it up, he would have leverage. That's for sure. Mo in Northeast Philly. Mo, you're on the Fanatic.
Hello.
Mo, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing, sir? By the way, I love your show, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I just want to talk about why bringing Bradford would be the most important thing the Eagles need to do.
Okay.
Bradford is the only quarterback out of all the candidates that had a year of experience of really, really getting embarrassed in front of Philly Nation. So I think that bringing Bradford is very essential with all the three core receivers we have. It's very, very important.
So the getting embarrassed part, that means what? He's tough and he knows how to deal with it?
No, but they went through a trial together so that they feel some kind of connection no matter what whether they like it or not.
Well, I don't know, man. I appreciate the call. I mean, I don't know what to say to that. I want quality players. Let's go to Chris in Allentown. Chris, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Joe. Listen, I want to jump in on this. Good show tonight. I want to jump in on this conversation. I think I agree with a lot of what you said in the earlier part of, holding on to Sammy for 2 years. But if we get a 4-year deal on Sammy, we can get out of it in 3 years. I'm happy with it. I think Sam Bradford is a very serviceable quarterback in this league. I look at what he did last year and how he came off very shaky. He was out for 2 years. I think this guy can be very solid. I mean, look at some of the shots this guy took last year. In the mouth, and he delivered that football. And 9 times out of 10, his receivers were just dropping the ball. If we would have had receivers last year that caught the ball, I mean, we could be talking playoffs last year. But we're not. But I really believe in what you're saying. But you also said there was going to be maybe 3 guys here in 2 years. I think you're a little incorrect. There's probably about 6 or 7 guys in this offense that will be here.
Well, who do you got?
Well, I mean, obviously we got Zach Ertz is going to be here.
That's one. Yeah, Ertz, Lane Johnson, and the slot Jordan receiver, Matthews. Jordan Matthews. Anybody else?
I'd say Nelson Aguilar.
You want to say him, but I need him to prove it.
Oh, I guarantee this guy's game. You can look at his college film. I think last year was just a fluke. The kid was – I mean, look at how erratic Chip's offense was last year.
Well, let me ask you this. Anybody beyond Aguilar? Because I don't see anyone else beyond Aguilar. No running back. Kelsey maybe?
You're kind of right off the running back situation.
But none of these running backs are going to be with the team 2 years. I mean, I don't think 2 years from now anybody's in the cards for this
Barter.
One.
I'd say Barter could be
we're talking about to actually contribute.
Well, I mean, he didn't look too bad when he did get in last year. I agree with you, but I mean,
I'm not looking for the next guy to hang around the back of the roster for 10 years. I'm looking for a guy to come in and play ball.
Hey, Brian Westbrook started out as a punt returner. I'm not saying he's Brian Westbrook. Don't hold me on that. But
right. I got you. No, I don't think there's much of a Brian Westbrook comparison there. All right, we'll resume the conversation later tonight, somewhere around 10 o'clock or so after the 76ers game. Sixers and Wizards coming up top of the hour. Pregame show next. Thanks to Devon producing tonight's show. Again, I'll be back later on tonight and then again also tomorrow night at 6. And the franchise tag period will be over by the time I'm next on at 6 o'clock. So, you know, they got to figure out something. We'll talk about it more later on. Have a great rest of the night. Sixers Hoops next. Stay tuned for it on the Fanatic.